Welcome to Lifestyle Solopreneur, the community for entrepreneurs who put lifestyle first. Join your host, Flavia Barris, as she interviews successful lifestyle solopreneurs and shares ideas to help you find the perfect balance between lifestyle, business, and self. Flavia is an attorney, marketing expert, and founder of several online academies. She's been featured in major media, including BBC World News, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Post, ESPN Television, and more. Join us for this episode of Lifestyle Solopreneur.
Hey, Lifestyle Solopreneurs. Today we get to speak with Eric Recker. He is a dentist, husband, father, keynote speaker, elite success coach, author, pilot, mountain climber, and recovering triathlete. In his second half of life, he is committed to helping people shorten the distance to becoming their best version and learning to win the now. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Flavia, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I love having you here. I also just love that you're one of those people that is X/Y/Z/, and because you're a dentist, but you're doing all this keynote speaking, you're a coach, you've written things, you're an author. And I don't know what you mean by recovering triathlete. I'm guessing that you're no longer doing triathlons, but you're probably still an athlete. So tell us a little bit about this mix of who you are and how you got here.
Yeah, dentist by trade. And I could probably spend about 3 hours telling my story, but I won't do that for everybody. I have a history of bullying when I was growing up. And what that bullying did is I made a pact with myself on the playground growing up in elementary school, because in Iowa, where I'm from, recess kickball in the early 80s was everything. It was super important. And when I was told that I wasn't good enough and I couldn't play, and I heard that enough times, it created a monster. And so I remember making a pact with myself in either second or third grade that I was going to be so freaking good at everything that I ever did that no one would ever not pick me. And a lot of my life has been around making that pact that I didn't even realize I had done until a few years ago. So basically, nothing was ever good enough for me through high school, through college, through dental school, after dental school, getting advanced degrees, starting with running through the marathon distance, triathlon through the Ironman distance. And so basically what I did is I ran myself into the ground trying to prove to myself that I was good enough. And once I finally realized that, and it only took me 3 rounds of what I would call pretty serious burnout to get there, I realized that those lessons and those things that I had gone through would be wasted if I kept them to myself. So my goal is to help other people on their journey, wherever they're at, to get to a life that they don't need a vacation from, a life that they don't need to wake up from. So that's where I find myself now. I was seeing patients 4 to 5 days a week in my dental practice. I'm now seeing patients 3 days a week. And on the other days, I do my coaching, workshop facilitation, speaking, things like that.
And dental school is grueling. I've often thought that some of these programs, medical school, dental school, law school, I'm a lawyer, also recovering workaholic lawyer. And like you, I've really cut down to how many days a week I do that particular type of work. But getting through those kind of programs, I think, is almost scarring. Because just to get through, you have to become a workaholic because it's all you really do for a number of years. And how do you think that sort of influenced who you are today, is having made it through that kind of grueling schoolwork and academic program? And do you think your life would have been different if you'd chosen a completely different direction from the start?
For sure. I really do. And I'm not one of those people hear my story and sometimes say, oh, do you wish that never would have happened, the bullying and all of that kind of stuff? And I don't, even for a little bit. I didn't enjoy the burnout when I was in it. But I think that we are all on a journey. And through our journey, we're able to help other people on their journey. And had I chosen to just believe that I wasn't good enough and minimize myself, then there's a lot of things I wouldn't have achieved. But in going through dental school and going through some of the things I've been through, I've learned I can do hard things. And I think a lot of us need to realize that we can do hard things. It doesn't mean that we can do them forever, and we have to have some safeguards in place, but we can do hard things. And through that, I've been able to experience a lot of good stuff in life because I did work that hard.
So a lot of people want to start a business, be it coaching or consulting, be their own boss, do something different from what they're doing today, but they don't necessarily want to leave behind their day job today because that's where they're making their income currently. I think there's a lot of people that jump into business where they decide to become self-employed and actually stop their current job, like they quit. They hand over a termination, a letter saying, hey, I'm quitting and I'm jumping into this thing. Maybe they don't even have enough savings yet. But in watching what you're doing, you kept your day job. You're still a dentist. You still have a dental practice, but you also have your coaching, your writing, you know, being a keynote speaker and doing all these other things. Why did you make the decision to keep the dental job? Is it something you think will phase out after some time? Or do you enjoy having that split in your time so that you have both types of work?
Yeah, that's great. I think the cool thing about the term side hustle is that I think sometimes we forget it can be a side hustle. It can be something that we do in addition to our day job. And I think sometimes we get a burn the ships moment maybe a little earlier than what it's actually time when it's time to. So what I tell people who are in a similar boat that I was in, what are some experiments that you can do to lean into what you want to do? If you want to be a coach, you can try doing some of it on the side. If you want to be a speaker, that's great. Then start working on some of your content and maybe talk to some different groups about getting a chance to speak. And then what you do is if that starts to grow, great. Then you can start worrying about at that point, when am I going to make a change? One of the things that I love to say to people is when they say, I'm just worried I'm going to be too busy with coaching, or I'm going to be too busy with speaking, or I'm going to be too busy with whatever my side hustle is. And to those people, I just say, hey, go get those problems and then figure it out. Sometimes we don't start because we think we're going to be, oh man, I'm not going to be able to manage this. And yes, you might get into a point where you don't feel like you can manage both sides of it, your new business and what you were doing. Then it's time to start making some of those decisions. But I think if we step away completely too quickly, then there's no safety net if things don't work out. So for now, I get to still do the things I love about my dental practice. I get to spend time with my team. I get to pour into them. I get to spend time with my patients and work on those relationships. But then also I get to do workshops in front of groups. I get to do keynotes in front of groups. I get to one-on-one coach people. So I truly believe that right now I'm in the sweet spot where I'm doing some of each, and I wouldn't trade it. This is exactly where I want to be at this point.
I'm cut from that same fabric because I do a lot of different things, but I did still keep my original day job. And I talk about it on the podcast, especially in the early episodes, on my own burnout journey, my own realization that I actually was a workaholic and that it wasn't leaving time in my life for the things that really actually truly matter to me. So for me, I did have to go through that transformation, but I didn't completely burn the ship, as you said. I still am an attorney. I have been from day one when I got my law license. And even though I cut way back on the type of work that I do, the type of clients I have, and also, you know, made the shift to hanging my own shingle, as it's called in the legal world, and being self-employed as an attorney versus working for this big law firm that demanded 12-hour days from everybody. So it definitely, I'm on the same boat as you. I do think that in many cases, it would be premature for somebody to hand in a resignation letter and completely lose their current income as they build something new. It is much safer and probably more conservative financially to do it in a slower, measured way. Because a lot of times too, people think they'll love a job, a self-employment opportunity, starting a business, but maybe they won't once they get into it. And so it is also a way to dip your toes in without committing fully financially to this new venture. So I agree with you.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point to make. You can, in the beginning, have it both ways. You may be a little squeezed for time, but if it's really important to you, why would you not do a few low-stakes experiments to see how it works out? If it doesn't work out, you can still go back to your job. But I think, and part of it is just, what's your personality? What are your stressors? If you jump and that there's some tough months, is that going to bury you? Then you might want to make sure you keep a safety net. But if you are just, hey, let's go for it. Let's see where the chips fall. I'm going to figure it out, then it might be okay. But I am more of a, let's make smart choices as we go. I think there will be a point when I'll be doing primarily speaking and coaching, but that time is not right now. So I just like where I'm at. And I think what you said is perfect advice.
And so in your success coaching, what is your typical client like? Who are you attracting to this practice? And give us maybe some typical case studies on the people that you've been able to help.
Yeah. So recently I was working with someone who's got a job that pays the bills. They're actually a realtor. Job pays the bills. It's a little bit sporadic, but it's not really where they're passionate. They have some other passions, some other things they want to work through. Basically how we started, and it took this person a long time to even reach out to me because they are in this place where everybody says, well, you're doing fine. You're doing great at business. Why don't you just keep doing that? And so those are the type of people that I love to work with because I was there too. And people don't get that I want to step a little bit away from dentistry, from my day job. They just don't understand that because I think so many of us just stay in that comfort zone. So what we did is we figured out what he wanted. And now we're working on making a plan to go after that. Because first of all, I think when you're making a decision like this, you need somebody in your corner. You need somebody who is confidential, who is a third party that's not really doing day-to-day life with you that can help you make these decisions. You need somebody to be honest with you that's saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm not sure if this is what I always want to be doing. So I also work with, I have a few clients who are in the healthcare industry. That's natural for me, healthcare entrepreneurs. I work with a chiropractor. I've worked with a couple dentists. And the thing that is a common thread with who I've worked with is I would consider them high achievers. And I believe that anybody who's listening to this podcast is a high achiever. But they're looking ahead at the road of life and they're not sure that they're on the right path. They're not sure that this is as good as life gets. And they want to know if there's something more for life. And they want to know if there's something else that they can do to bring them joy and to help them find happiness in what they're doing. We take a pause at where they're at, take a snapshot of where things are, dream about what things could be, and then we help make a plan to get to that new point.
And what's a common denominator, something that you find is just very typical in people that make this realization and say, I want to make a change, I want to get help. What is something that you see in common across the board?
I see a lot of burnout. I see a lot of burnout and struggling with purpose. People get to a point in their lives where they're wondering, is this all that life has for me? Could there be something more? And that thought of a life that could just bring them joy, that could give them purpose, that could make them really want to pop out of bed in the morning. I find that in a lot of my people, but also that burnout piece that they've been trying their best in what they're doing. They almost feel like they're spinning the wheels, or they've hit the peak of where they can get to, or they're not sure about the future of the industry and they just need a change. So sometimes people just need permission that the thought of making a change is okay, and just to be able to say that out loud.
And what is a day in the life of a coach like? Because obviously we picture what you're doing when you're running your dental practice. We know we've been to dentists. Hopefully all of us listening have been to a dentist. We know what's involved there. But tell us a little bit about the career of being a professional coach and a speaker. What does that look like for someone that aspires to follow in your footsteps?
Yeah, it's a huge change for me because Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, my day is planned for me. The whole day is scheduled out. So that can be, at first, that was really overwhelming when I stepped into this blue sky space where I could just do what I wanted on those days. So I've had to get really serious about time blocking. And so I've basically taken my schedule and I have a couple hours on Friday mornings that I have open for kind of office hours times. Those would be initial calls for speaking or coaching. Just people who want to pick my brain for something, we have some space for that. Then I have some other spaces where I do some podcasts. I have other spaces where I'm working on content. So basically, I have to be very intentional and very deliberate with my time blocking on those 2 days. I might have a couple coaching meetings on one day. I might be preparing for a keynote on another day. I might have a day that I have to, if I have a keynote that I have to travel to, then I might be looking at a couple days that I have to block. It's really being intentional with how I spend my time. Because if I don't, I can find that those two days can go by really fast and I don't have much to show for it.
And writing books and writing articles or even ebooks, that's a big goal on a lot of people's list. Maybe it's the resolution. We're coming into the new year right now and we're sitting here speaking today. As an author, what advice would you give to somebody who aspires to write and to publish? And especially you, because there's a lot of demands on your time. Like you just gave us your average week, but you've written things. So how do you do that? And what advice do you have for someone that wants to do that as well?
First of all, the best advice I can give is just start writing. So when I wrote my first book, The False Sense of Urgency and How to Win the Now, I was having a conversation with my dental consultant at the time. And I told him that I really felt like I was being plagued by this false sense of urgency. And he said, wait, what did you say? And so I said, this false sense of urgency. He says, dude, you need to write a book about that. And so the way I describe that is the false sense of urgency is just this background app that is running in our mind. And it's something that really plagues high achievers because we feel like we always need to be productive. Our time always needs to, we need to show something for our time. We need to be busy. We need to be doing something. And so what I did after I got off the phone with him is I knew I had wanted to write a book. I just wasn't totally sure what I wanted to write about. So I sat down and I just started writing. And it's amazing what I learned through that process. I just started writing. I think I wrote handwritten. I wrote about 10 pages that day. I was so motivated. I had some time and I just got it done. So the biggest thing I would say is just start writing, whether it's start writing paragraphs or start writing an outline of what it is that you want to write a book about. Start doing some research about what you might want to write about. But just start, because as long as it's this thing that's just out there, you'll have a million excuses. But once you start, then you're more likely to keep going with it.
I love that advice. I think that's so great. And tell us a little bit about the book itself. Who's it for? What will it help someone with so that anyone listening that the book's a fit for can go and find it?
Yeah. So like it deals with kind of defining what that false sense of urgency is. It's the thing that would never help me. It would never allow me to sit still on a Sunday afternoon. I always felt like I needed to be doing something, whether that was exercising or whether it was doing a project around the house or whatever it was. I couldn't rest. And I really dig into some different habits that we can do to help become our best version. There's a chapter in there about sleep. There's a chapter in there about my faith walk. There's a whole bunch in there. But one of the things that I really found that was able to attack the false sense of urgency head on was this concept of win the now. And so what win the now is it talks to us about how most of us are either stuck in the past or worried about the future. And in being in those two places, stuck in the past or worried about the future, we lose what's most important and what's guaranteed. And that's what's right in front of us. That's the now. And what Win the Now says is we have to live our life in the now. If there's something we're worried about in the past, we're stuck in the past, we need to deal with that. There's something we're worried about in the future, we need to understand what is it that we're worried about and how can we prepare for that. But when we find ourselves in the present moment, then we look at that moment and say, what does a win look like? For me, in my dental practice, I define a now as every 15 minutes in my office, I see as a now that I have in the day. What does a win look like? A win looks like a good patient interaction, because I'm usually scheduled on the 15 minutes, multiple blocks of 15 minutes sometimes, but that's how it goes. So during that time, what does a win look like? A win might look like a great interaction with a patient. It might look like helping someone who's anxious about a procedure. It might look like a really good procedure or a good conversation. And then there's a realization that sometimes we're going to take losses in those nows, in our current moments. when we take a loss, what we do, if we're in a hurry, we write that down or we make a note in our phone or whatever we do, revisit it when we have time. And when we've taken a loss, if something didn't go well, if someone was grumpy with me about a procedure, if somebody didn't show up for an appointment, lots of different losses, then I go back to that loss and say, okay, what can I learn from this loss? I learn the lesson, turn it into a win, and then I'm right back into the current moment. It's something that can be translated to all parts of our lives. If you're in a meeting, what does a win look like? If you are at home at dinner with your family, what does it look like? Maybe everybody puts down their phones and is engaged in conversation and lifting each other up and encouraging each other. So we take the different nows of our life, figure out what wins look like in those, and then try to seek out those wins. And we can win for ourselves. We can win for others. When we win for ourselves and others, then that's a win. And we start to get momentum. Because what I used to always do was I would come home at the end of the day and my wife, Amy, would say, hey, how was your day? And I would say, oh, this happened, or this happened to me, or this bad thing happened. And I would reduce my whole day to that one thing that happened. Win the now is more of an optimistic look. And I start talking, now I find myself coming home at the end of the day and talking about the wins that I got during the day instead of the losses. Ultimately, win the now is the mindset of presence.
Eric, that's so motivating. And I just love everything you just shared. If somebody wants to connect with you, find you online, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, my website is home base for me. So it's ericrecker.com. And there's links to my social media channels in there. I do a weekly blog, send out a newsletter. And then there is also a free 5-day knockback burnout challenge. If you feel like you might be struggling with burnout, want to know what things you can do, what solutions there might be, you can just enter your email in that. And then you'll get a series of 5 emails that will help start to make sense of some of that burnout. So those are great places to get a hold of me.
ericrecker.com, ericrecker.com. Eric, it's been so great having you on the show. You are an amazing resource and just always inspiring. And I just love what you're doing out there in the world. Thank you.
Flavia, thanks for having me. This has been a great conversation.
Everyone, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, and if you leave a review on iTunes, I promise I will read every single review. If you know someone who makes a full-time living from part-time work, and maybe this is you, please visit lifestylesolopreneur.com to nominate a guest or to nominate yourself. Because remember this, money doesn't buy happiness. But money in the hands of a happy person, there is no greater tool.
Today's episode was brought to you by the Get Shift Done program. It's a lifestyle-changing online class to help you define your business and lifestyle ambitions and to set goals in a way you've never experienced before. This class will 10x your daily productivity with methods that will blow your mind. And if you use the coupon code PODCAST, the class tuition is 99% off. Visit getshiftdone.com to enroll today.